Shotgun is empty. Back to throw. They blitz him from the safety spot, and Prescott escapes that, runs to his right, throws on the run to the middle of the field. Lamb at the 50. No one will get anywhere near him. Lamb could crawl in if he wanted to. C.D. Lamb, 92 yards from Dak Prescott for the Dallas touchdown.
And that connection is officially back, and that is the way we start the Tolo Tuesday edition of Sean, RJ, and Bobby on your home of the Cowboys. It's DFW Sports Station 105.3 The Fan. Good morning, Metroplex. I'm Sean Treif alongside Ref James Choppy, Bobby, and Peyton in the back, live on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube. And the deal, as we guessed, is finally done.
It's done. It's done. It was. We knew it was going to get done. There was no chance he was going to miss a game check. That was just the reality of it. There was no chance. I mean, you can miss preseason game checks or get the fine or whatever, but
when it comes down to the leverage and the scare tactic, was it scarier for CD to miss regular season game checks or the Cowboys not to have him?
Cowboys. It's the bigger threat. I agree with RJ that they were never going to let him miss game. He was never going to miss game checks because the Cowboys were always going to say, well, a reality without CD here is too terrifying. We're going to get it done. They would reach the same conclusion they did with Zeke that year. We're 3 days out from the game. They went, just pay it. Whatever he said, just pay it because he's got to be here. And that's the same thing that I think they were going to come to with Lamb. It's just they weren't as far apart or as dug in as they seemed to be on Zeke. And so this one took less. This just felt a little trivial for most of the time, the way the Cowboys approached it.
Well, let's get into the numbers and the terms and figure out why it took so long and whether Jerry and Steven actually won anything with this delay. It's 4-4-136. That is 34 a year, makes him the second highest paid non-quarterback in NFL history. It's a $38 million signing bonus, the largest ever given to a wide receiver, and $100 million guaranteed, according to Todd Archer, who will join us at 8. So, Bobby, when this news came out and the terms were announced, which part of this made you go, okay, now I get it? You pointed to that number and said, that's the reason why this took so long.
None of it. Every single last bit of this. David Hellman had a tweet that went viral yesterday, which is the day the Jefferson deal happened in June. David tweeted, he said, okay, so what are we looking at for CD? 4 years, $136 million with 100 guaranteed, which is exactly what it ended up being. And it is exactly falls right down where you would expect CD's money to fall given the rest of the market.
Is it the signing bonus at 38?
No, signing bonus is just the way the signing bonus works is you can spread the signing bonus out over 5 years over the contract. So the Cowboys, if maybe they were saying, okay, we want to take his money and maybe they convert. We haven't seen the exact specifics yet. Maybe they take some of his $17 million and they turn that into a signing bonus. And they also take new money and they turn that into a signing bonus. Then they can spread the cap hit out. They can lower his number for this year so he's not making $17 million on their cap if they're still trying to get something done with Dak. But the signing bonus is more just the biggest accounting trick you can use when signing a deal. And so I think that's one of the reasons why, depending on how they look at their financials, they might want to give him a really high one or a really low one, or how they want to, you know, value that.
Any of this makes sense to you in terms of the delay?
I still don't know why this team decides to operate under this. We'll pay. We're on no schedule. We operate on no schedule. The only schedule the Cowboys have is spring break. that's the only schedule that they operate by. Now, look, I mean, you could say that, well, you know, CD could have come down too, and that's totally fair. It's a negotiation has two sides.
I don't think it is.
If he was asking for like 36, maybe they were waiting for that to drop.
So as
we don't know.
Jane reported yesterday, CD'd been asking for 34. That was the number. He had asked for 36 initially, I would guess, because they said he wanted to be the top of the market guy. So I'm guessing he probably started there. But apparently CD for the last several weeks had been at 34 and they just were not wanting to move. To me, it's you've got to, if you're telling me like the way that contracts are supposed to step up and the way that you're supposed to, you know, generally level up guys who are better than others, you can't pay him 32 and a half. Just on principle alone, the way the numbers are supposed to break down, you can't come down.
So you don't believe that info is just coming from Lamb's agents trying to not make him look selfish? make the Cowboys look like that they should have just done this. You don't think he was asking for like 35, 36?
He may have initially. Yeah. Like whenever anybody throws out an initial number, it's usually like when Nick tells us Dak's asking price right now, which you missed him say this last week, but he told us Dak's asking price is around the high temperature in Oxnard, which would sound like 70-something.
So that's improved.
That's close to it.
He was very vague about it, but that's what he said.
You were supposed to ask him Saturday.
I know. I didn't see him at the stadium. I meant to. But way up there, and then you settle in the middle, fine. This one sounds like they were never that far off. And it feels like you lost a month.
Well, let's ask the follow-up question. Besides missing training camp, what did they cost themselves financially by waiting? Did it really ding them that much?
If you want to talk about it in terms of waiting last year, if you look at if they would have gotten it done last year, yes, it cost them money because there have been way too many deals that have been checked off since then. DJ Moore, AJ Brown, Justin Jefferson, Amon-Ra St. Brown, these have all gotten done since then. If you're on the earlier end of that, that's going to look lower last year if you just get it done.
Sure. But now, question though, because I don't know who told us, who said this to us. Isn't it true though that, like, let's just say they did it last year,
mm-hmm.
and then CD now is the seventh highest paid wide receiver? Wouldn't he already want a new deal?
I mean, people.
Lombardi was kind of saying.
Was it Lombardi that said that?
Lombardi says that in a way of like they all want new money. Yeah. Not,
but
like,
you know what? He's just wrong. He's wrong on that. The CD, no player in the National Football League redoes their deal like this, and then the next year asks for the deal to be torn up. No one does it.
Like Tyreek Hill just got his deal reworked.
Restructured or whatever reworked.
But what did he do? He didn't get any extra money. They just guaranteed more of it. That's it. That, like, I mean, you'll get some of those tweaks maybe, but just a flat holdout the next year, no.
Yeah, like I don't think they cost themselves anything this year, like this in this offseason. But Bobby's right. I mean, if they did it last year, they may have been, I mean, shoot, $4 million less.
Yeah, could have been around 31. Something
that's,
like that.
That's not insignificant. I mean, you're not going to get a singular player.
No, but you always
add that up.
Yes.
You add Dak and Micah and CD up, and now you got $12 million.
Highest paid receivers in the NFL on a per-year basis now. Jefferson at 35, Lamb at 34, A.J. Brown at 32, Amon-Ra at 30, Tyreek at 30, Jalen Waddle at 28, and then Devontae, who wants a new deal, at 28. Andrew Brandt tweeted this out, besides saying, way to go, Cowboys. You wait, pay top dollar, just like you always do. CeeDee will make a $38 million signing bonus. The Packers' 7 wideouts make $7 million. Oh.
That says something.
Good value if you can get it.
Here's the difference. I saw this. I was sitting at lunch yesterday, and ESPN threw this graphic up, and I was like, I got
just the fact of eating as a well. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't always eat around him.
I've never seen him eat.
So I looked at it. They threw up this graphic on ESPN, and I had to take note of it because I had not heard this stat before. These were the leaders last year. The largest yardage differential between your leading receiver and your second leading receiver. Fourth in the NFL was Keenan Allen. He was 662 yards more than Josh Palmer. Puka Nacua was 749 yards more than Cooper Kupp. Tyreek Hill was 785 yards more than Jalen Waddle. Wow. And then first place, CeeDee Lamb had 988 more yards than Jake Ferguson. And that's the widest gap by a significant margin in the NFL. Like, he is the offense. I think you can make a case that right now, the composition of the roster right now, this team hurts more with Lamb out and Dak at quarterback than Rush in at quarterback and Lamb in there. Like, I think there's a good argument to be made that they would hurt more with no CD in there because the weapons just are not there to get open.
And things may not be done. As Tom Pelissero, NFL Network, tweets last night that the Cowboys are bringing in Dalvin Cook for a workout, you're already shaking your head.
Because he looked us dead in the eye on Saturday night. He said, no, we're not adding anybody else. We're done.
Jerry?
Roster's good. I don't know.
That's why I didn't play that clip yesterday.
No need to. Well, Sean, you deserve credit for that. Mark that, Peyton. That's something that Dalvin Cook counts as adding something. Like, that's not just a waiver claim. This would be a significant name right there.
What would his number be? Not his physical playing number, like his contract.
I don't know.
They gave $4 million to Linval Joseph.
Yeah. He was bad last year. I mean, he's a lot of people.
But before you start, I have to interrupt. Last night, with your thoughts in your email, very good email, by the way. The best email, very good email.
People say it's better than any email ever written. Than Hillary's emails.
Did you send that email before or after the martinis?
I don't remember.
Okay. How many martinis were consumed in Fort Worth?
Man, the martinis are tough to have a lot of. I only had three.
Oh, dang. That's a lot.
How are you going to back-to-back this?
Three more. Jeez. By the way, tonight, Keensay in Fort Worth, 4 to 6. So not tonight, this afternoon, matinee. I don't know. The Tangeray came up with this idea. I don't know where they came up with the idea for French fries with martinis that are paired. But getting a dirty French fry so it's French fries with olive juice sprinkled on it is unbelievable. Really? I had no expectations going in. I had bad expectations.
Wow.
It's got the blue cheese crumbles on it.
Oh.
And olive juice. And it's magnificent. Keensay tonight, 4 o'clock.
The reason I ask if you sent your email before or after the drinks is because you made a couple statements, strong statements in this email. Very strong. I was like, this was post martini. And one of them, and I'd like to get your BAC right now.
Okay.
RJ Choppy all in on signing an old aged running back in Dalvin Cook.
All in.
And this is after also loving the running back performances on Saturday in the preseason game. Go.
Well, I love the preseason running back game performances because they're basically free players. They're cheap, right? And that's exactly, just throw anybody out there. Dalvin Cook, I assume, as we sit here almost on September 1st, August 27th, is not going to be holding out for, buku dollars.
According to Michael Lombardi.
What?
I'm just saying because he says everybody holds out once more money.
So, good one. So I assume he's going to be very, very cheap. This running back crew is bad enough. Get bodies in here. You want to talk about a short yardage back. It's not Zeke. It's this guy.
I'll be RJ since he's living in another universe this morning after the martini fries. No. I learned my lesson last year. I was wrong about Dalvin Cook. He averaged 3.2 a carry. In 15 games, he had 214 yards. Now, the year before, he had actually 1,100 yards in the four prior years. I've always been a Dalvin Cook fan. Mm. Running style, tough, physical, explosive. But last year, he couldn't do anything to make any type of dent with the New York Jets running game.
He has been a fumbler for the last several years. He is awful in pass protection. You're not going to get him in there on passing situations. He's a decent receiver.
Now we care about pass. We don't care about pass protection.
What's he coming in here to do, though? He's not coming in here to carry the ball 300 times. He's coming in here to be a. It would be a situational player or splitting time. And so because of that,
if he's here, is he the best talent in the room?
I don't know anymore.
No, that's the thing. I wouldn't even bring him in for work. I would just sign him to give him this pittance of a salary and bring him in and let's go. Let's just figure this thing out. Because like Sean said, we don't know. He might be the best running back.
As a pure runner, no. I don't think he is the best. I don't think he would be the best one here.
Who would?
Dowdle, probably. Dowdle as a pure runner right now is probably better. If that's the only part of the game we're talking about, Cook is a decent pass catcher. I mean, he's still got decent vision. But, man, like I said, a lot of fumbling, doesn't pass protect. The speed is not there. He's had a heavy workload. He's the same age as Zeke, even though he's played one fewer years. He is, he's somebody the Cowboys liked for a long time. He was the last first-round grade they had on the board the year they took Taco Charlton. But they had Ezekiel Elliott, and so they didn't need him. But if they had not taken Zeke the year before, and when the Taco pick came around, they would have picked Cook that year.
Are we going green light with our phone call last night?
No, but I would say that...
We'll do it next. Let's see what Bobby Belt has to say in terms of some other roster additions. How does the roster look? Cuts were made as the 53 has to be finalized. Todd Archer will join us at 8. And RJ may have been drinking even more after the Dalvin Cook take. because he's going to defend GM Jerry That's Jones
right, what?
After what Jerry went off about yesterday. That's next on The Fan. Good morning, Metroplex. It is a good morning for the Dallas Cowboys and CeeDee Lamb. He gets the deal done. What else is on the way? It's Sean RJ and our Cowboys insider, Bobby Belt. We also have roster cutdowns taking place. Todd Archer will join us at 8 o'clock. Nick Harris had the list yesterday. Deontay Burnett, bye-bye. The guy who dropped maybe the best pass of the day from Trey Lance. Josh DeBerry, Willie Harvey, friend of the show. Alec Holla, Cam Johnson, Jason Johnson, Nathaniel Pete, Eric Scott, who we've talked about a lot, David Ryden Durden, Fajoco, we were talking about what a disappointment, fourth round pick. Bobby will have a note on him in a second. Darrell Johnson, terminated. So what is the difference between waived and terminated?
So Albert
terminated, so harsh.
Albert Huggins, Tyron Billy Johnson, Damian Wilson, they were all terminated. So what that is they are veterans. They are not. They don't have to go through the waiver process. They are free agents right now. They can sign with anybody they want. The others don't have enough, like, served time to be able to just be free. So they're waived. They got to go through waivers first. David Durden, Junior Fajoco, and Darrell Johnson were waived injured. So what that means is the Cowboys have waived them. They'll pass through waivers. If they get claimed, they're gone, obviously. But if they get all the way through waivers without another team claiming them, they revert to the Cowboys IR. So they would still be here with the Cowboys. They would land on injured reserve.
What names jump out from this list and why?
I'm surprised they went ahead and cut Scott and didn't keep him. I mean, I didn't have Scott on the roster. I'm surprised they didn't keep him up till 3 o'clock and just see if they could figure something out, like with a trade or something else. That's somebody who they picked in the fifth round, I believe. Sixth round. Yeah, he was picked in the sixth round, and they traded a fifth for him. They used two draft picks to bring Eric Scott in here. Cutting him a year later, I would figure you would do something to just figure out a move you could make there. I'm surprised they let Willie Harvey go this early. That was something where, even if they were going to cut him, which I had him on the roster, I think Nick talked about him as a guy who was on the bubble. Archer, David Moore, Calvin Watkins, they all had him on their 53-man roster projections. So that one was probably the biggest surprise. I think that may have been more about giving him an opportunity to find something sooner. For them, I think it was just practices, which were good, didn't translate to the games as consistently. And then Albert Huggins being a guy that they would, if Linval Joseph doesn't get cut, I think Huggins would have been here, even with the shoving of a Rams intern. I think he would have been here.
Shoving the Rams.
And so this is that one was a little bit, would have been surprising about a week ago. Makes sense now. The one that's really disappointing if you're the Cowboys is Fajoco. Just the fact that you're even waiving him. If he gets claimed, which I doubt, waived injured guys don't usually get claimed. But if he gets claimed and is out of the organization, that is the first time a Will McClay draft pick taken in the fourth round or higher has failed to play even a game for the team in the regular season. It'll be the very first time that it ever happened. The last time that's happened for the Cowboys, period, was 2012. It's been 12 years. It was Matt Johnson, the safety. That was the last time that happened.
God, I remember him.
RJ Choppy with take number two coming up that threw me for a loop last night. Do you think that they're still shopping? What are we adding? What are we subtracting? What are we looking at?
So they've got Dalvin Cook coming in today for a workout. I don't think, as much as there's a lot of love for Carl Lawson that's existed in Cowboys Twitter sphere for a long time, and he's somebody who has had some success rushing the passer, I think that the Cowboys are curious if they can get better there. I don't know how much they love what they've seen from Carl Lawson since he got into camp. So Lawson might be guy 53 right now. And if that's the case, you're running with four defensive ends. I would not be surprised if they scan the waiver wire or we hear they're working a defensive end out today. I think that's the kind of position that you're still looking at. Running back, defensive end, I think they're looking to add there.
Jerry Jones F-bombs going viral with Clarence Hill. And Jerry talking to Clarence about not giving up the GM role. Quote, "I've done it all, so I have an inordinate amount of confidence that if anyone can figure out how to get this S done, I can figure out how to get it done. I've been there every which way from Sunday, and I busted my ass a bunch, and there's nobody living that's out cutting and shooting that can't give you a bunch of times they busted their ass, whatever that means. So hell no. There's nobody that could effing come in here and do all the contracts and be a GM any better than I can. Cue the pukes in DFW. Plus, I'm where the buck stops. When it Fs up, I got to cover it. And so there, you can't give anybody enough. Can't give. There's no one that can do it. Running this thing, that's who I want to make the last call. Now, when I can't effing think, when I'm old and I can't even do it,
when?
And I'm a long way from not being able to do that. The reason I don't let someone else be the GM, listen to this, is because I don't have anybody that I will let do it to actually do it right. And they're going to have to come to me, and because I know where it is, that you're going to pay for it.
Yeah, this is a stance he has held for his entire tenure here. And he has always used this very similar line in that they're going to have to come and ask me anyway as the owner if they can do this. So why don't I just do this? And I'm the decision maker. And I have the Will McClays of the world and the scouts bring me their opinion. And I just sign off on it.
The other thing he always uses is other GM turnover throughout the league. He would go, he probably has someone in Frisco tracking what is the other organization that keeps turning over general managers, and he goes, we could be that. Is that the answer?
Right. Look, I mean, let's be fair. Jerry does this because so Jerry doesn't have to pay $5 million to a GM. Like, he's saving money.
Yeah.
That's part of it.
Part of it, and ego.
And sure, part of it. But, like, look, I mean, at the end of the day, the Cowboys, you can't. And we've all said this. We've said this for, we've said this for the better part of 20 years. The Cowboys have a really good roster. And we have always said that.
Sure.
And
in the Will McClay era, anyway, we've said that.
Well, I mean, they had a good roster in post-Parcells from like 06 to 2010. They had a really good roster. It got old. It got old in 2010.
06 to 09. 10 to 13 was a little rough.
Yep. That was a transition. They were changing over the offensive line. Once they got the offensive line stabilized, 2014 on, the roster's been really, really good. Now, whether we want to give, we can decide where the credit goes. Does it go to Will McClay? Does it go to Jerry? Wherever. I mean, he's the GM. So the blame, if the blame is going to go to him, then the credit has to go to him too. If the blame goes to Mike McCarthy, then the credit has to go to him too. And if the roster's been good, which it has been, and they've got 8 double-digit wins since Tony Romo took over, 8 double-digit win seasons, and part two of that, and this is Jerry's fault, none of us believe they've ever had an elite coach.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Right. Yep. I'm ready. I read your email. I'm ready for the next part.
And you will agree with me on this. They've never had an elite quarterback either. They have a great quarterback.
Well, wait for 720. But
we just read an article of NFL execs that put him number 9.
It's great.
All right. Romo was not elite. Romo was great. But the point is like to win 12 games 3 years in a row, which is what they've done. I mean, the guys who have done that are Mahomes and Brady and Manning and Aikman and Elway. And we're talking a short list of guys that do that, that have ever done that.
And that's the thing that I have trouble with, is that was just a sign. You read that off. You read off all the quarterback names. You didn't read off all the GM names. So I don't know why here in Dallas you would then say, so thus, the GM has won 12 games in a row 3 times without an elite quarterback.
Do you agree Dak's not going to the Hall of Fame?
Probably not. As of today, no. Right.
That doesn't mean that he can't have a kick at the end of his career and go. Those guys are, like, there wasn't even a discussion about them in that room. Like, that's the point. Like, he's done this without an elite quarterback.
Just what is, I guess that's the, this is the thing that I keep coming down to.
We know what porn is.
It's funny. That's the exact line I used with Zach the other day. I was like, don't tell me it's like porn. You know it when you see it. I want to know, like, are we saying, because if we talk about truly elite and like whatever the top tier is, Mahomes to me is on a tier by himself, for instance. If you're going to define it that way, then
it's... But what RJ's saying, I think you know what he's saying as well. He's coming at it the opposite way of giving the Joneses credit for winning this much without something special there. And he's saying that's usually reserved for special talents.
Not that he's not great. He is.
You don't have an all-time great and you're winning 12 games a year.
Yeah.
And like, you're giving them credit for that.
The teams that have more winning, you know, 10 win seasons since, you know, I'll use 07. That was Romo's first full year. I mean, you're looking at the Ravens, Steelers, Chiefs, Patriots.
Okay, all that is... Go ahead, Bobby.
You know, but now, look, they haven't done the playoffs. And I believe that's partly because they haven't... He has not... His ego has not allowed him to give an mega advantage a head coach. Right? They have not. They have never spent the money on a head coach. And, I mean, you know, Romo never played great in the playoffs. And Dak has been... Sometimes it's been really good in the playoffs, and sometimes it's been pretty bad. I mean, I think that's the main reason they haven't won.
Yeah, it's not been consistent at all. But I would say that I think when you look at the consistency of the roster building, it's really hard not to look at that and say it coincided with Will McClay being in charge of a lot of stuff here.
Look, I don't care about any of this. I don't care about the 12-win seasons, and I don't care about what they've been since Will McClay. You cannot have 28 years of bad luck.
That's true.
You just can't. The bottom line that you cannot argue is no NFC Championship game appearance. You came up short. In Sean Sherry's book of success, the way I define it, you have come up short. Is failed too strong of a word? Okay, fine. But you have not got it done. So don't sit here and sound delusional and foolish as Jerry Jones does by saying, hey, no one else can do it like me. You haven't been in the NFC Championship game. You have no answer for that. And you sound so dug in and so crazy that you just wanted to be your sandbox. So if you could get to a Super Bowl, man, I could think about giving you a pass. You cannot have 28 years of bad luck. And any normal person should look at themselves in the mirror after, like, I don't know, 10, 15, 20 at the very most and say, I'm not getting it done. Let's do something else. And he refuses to, and he'll always be blamed, and I will always blame him for that. 12 win. Congratulations. That's good. Done a nice job, but nowhere near good enough. Nowhere near. The NFC Championship game thing cannot be escaped. It just can't. Like, even getting close, we can make an excuse for you. Look, the randomness, blee and blah. You haven't even gotten there, so you have failed. You failed. For the standard of the Dallas Cowboys and all that stuff, you want to talk about standard and the star and all that? You failed, and you continue to fail. And that's the way you're going to be remembered by many. The overwhelming majority of this audience listening right now is going to remember Jerry Jones as an impediment, a hurdle, a barrier, and a wall towards getting where they're supposed to go. And they will point to him as the number one reason why. And when you can't get to an NFC Championship game, and we're going on 30 years, that to me cannot be argued.
Hey, look, it can't be argued. Now, I could say, as Thomas Edison once did, he didn't fail 28 times to reach the NFC Championship game. He just found 28 different ways not to reach it.
Okay. Yeah,
you could go down that route.
I would also say Thomas Edison didn't have the 13 other people trying to achieve the same things that he did get it, though. And it was like Edison and one other guy were failing 28 times.
Maybe this could be dangerous. I may have to listen to them, especially after Charles Haley was dropping S-bombs yesterday. Maybe you say something back to Jerry Jones on the Odyssey app with a recording.
Hey, man.
Peyton, how would the Tolos do that?
Yeah, so it's real simple. You just go to the Odyssey app, and then you click 105.3 The Fan, and then there will be a microphone icon that pops up right in the middle of your screen. You tap that, and you can record up to a minute-long message, leave your name and where you're from, and I'll review it in case there's any cussing going on, which, I mean, you can do that as well. Yeah. And we'll edit that, and then we'll get it played back on the show.
Deion Sanders gets destroyed. No more phone calls, and why the all-time greatest coach in college football is an absolute psycho. A college football kegger is next.
I'd like to know where Lou Holtz is right now.
Oh, I win.
Google me.
We're not hosting an intergalactic kegger down here.
The best audio bite is back. Paul Feinbaum.
Yeah. Daggers.
Responding to Deion Sanders childishly banning this Colorado reporter for kind of making fun of him and criticizing him. Deion, forget that he was also on the NFL Network for a very long time, that he was a commentator.
Was.
His job was to sit there and give opinions. He must have forgot. because they banned this reporter. You're not allowed to ask questions. You can still show up. Don't talk. It's actually in Deion's contract. And Paul Feinbaum responded to it yesterday on ESPN.
Coach Prime is showing he is not ready for prime time. I find this whole thing to be disgraceful. Deion may want to talk about love and joy, and that's been the cornerstone of what he seems to be spewing out. But treating reporters like this seems like we're in some autocratic country. This is not America, and the fact that it's in his contract is really even more absurd. But don't forget, he did this at Jackson State. This is a trait of Deion Sanders. He wants to have it his way, and I find him to be a bully and a hypocrite, and quite frankly, as someone who has been a fan of his throughout his entire career, even at Colorado, I am mortified by his actions.
Woo! All right. So that's Paul Feinbaum. And, you know, obviously Deion banning Sean Keeler, the Denver Post reporter, from asking questions to him or his players. And
Deion did him a tremendous favor, by the way.
Well, he's a household name now.
Because now we all know his name, yeah. And everyone is going to be paying attention to what he's saying.
Absolutely. And, you know, he followed it up, not Deion Keeler, with one of the great opening lines of any article ever written, a 4-8 coach did a 3-9 press conference the other day. I mean, that's just, there's no recovery from that.
What were his other names for Deion?
The Bruce Lee of BS and Deposition Deion, and there were some good ones there. So, the False Prophet. So, he had some good ones, and you know, Feinbaum is, like, absolutely right here. I'm stunned the university is allowing this. Like, I really, really am. Even with all the heat they're taking, I'm surprised the Big 12, the only thing the Big 12 wants to do right now is find a way to get UConn in the conference. Like, that's, like, the only thing they're doing. Not doing anything else. They just want to find a way to get UConn in the conference for basketball. And, you know, so they're just, like, and you know what? None of the other coaches are going to say anything. Because secretly, they love this because they want the same thing. Mike Gundy doesn't want to answer questions.
Yeah, Mike Gundy doesn't want to have to. Like Mike
He's
Gundy
a jackass
wants,
too.
He wants to do publicly what Deion's doing. Instead, he has to do it privately and quietly and have reporters lose their jobs and threaten them. And that's how Mike Gundy operates. But you got to think, a conference that is their biggest goal right now is we got to get UConn is not going to tell Deion Sanders what
right.
to do.
Yeah.
Now, they're just not going to do it.
Got to be fair. Great move by Deion yesterday. I didn't pull the audio. There was music behind it. It was too quiet. He got all the fathers, all the players on his team that have kids or are expecting. He got them an NIL deal where this bank that's in Colorado deposited $2,121.
Oh.
So, of course, Deion had to get like some of his branding in the NIL deals. That's on brand. But he got all those kids, those players, bank accounts for their kids. So they all got
That's
set
cool.
up with 21-21 with an NIL deal. That's very cool. It's a great move by Deion and by the bank.
Another unlikable move. Deion versus Dabo on the likability scale. Dabo Swinney has banned calls that he once took for his Clemson radio show, and it was all a result from this.
We won 11 games last year. And you're part of the problem, to be honest with you, because that is part of the problem. It's people like you that all you do is the appreciation, the expectation is greater than the appreciation. Mm. And that's the problem. And so, you know, we've won 12 10-plus win seasons in a row. That's happened three times in 150 years. So if you want to know why, Clemson ain't sniffed a national championship for 35 years. We've won 2 in 7 years, and there's only two other teams that can say that, Georgia and Alabama, okay? Is this a bad year? Yeah, and it's my responsibility. Take 100% responsibility for it. But all this bull crap you're thinking, all these narratives you read, listen, man, you can have your opinion all you want, and you can apply for the job, and good luck to you.
That was October 2023.
Yeah, so that was Dabo's response. This is Tyler in Spartanburg, and it's still living rent-free in his head. And Dabo is no longer going to be doing phone calls on his coach's show. This is big. This is peak Dabo.
You were out in front on him for a while in terms of the unlikability.
He's a charlatan. He is soft. He is a rabbit ear. And if Kalen DeBoer fails at Alabama, and I know Dabo is a Bama guy, he would not be able to handle Bama. Clemson's got nothing compared to what Alabama would be. He would not be able to handle Alabama at all.
And I think Alabama knows that. Like, I don't think Alabama would. Alabama knows better. I think they would look at Dabo and go, "Nope, not around here. This isn't going to fly." And that's he is. We're finding that there are some coaches who are just great coaches and great recruiters and everything else, and that they are going to be able to survive in whatever era exists of college football. The NIL era killed Dabo.
Mm-hmm.
Dabo cannot operate in this era any longer, and Clemson's got to start looking to the future if they want to turn that program around or like keep it relevant going into the future, because Dabo's not going to be it over the next decade.
Longhorn fans, cover your ears. Nick Saban admitting that he started off as a broadcasting fraud, as he was on Pat McAfee's show. Of course, he's on College Game Day now, and he was asked to explain his pick of Georgia and Texas in the SEC title game.
It's kind of reverse rat poison.
There you go.
I always hated it, and I'm going to hate it on this show. I might as well say it right off the bat.
What,
this show or any show or game day, having to predict and make hypothetical decisions about who's going to win a game, who's going to win a championship, who's going to win what conference. So I've always hated that. So I picked Georgia and Texas because it's reverse rat poison for Alabama. It's a motivating factor for them not to get picked, because I hated to be picked first or second, because you don't know how that's going to impact your team psychologically. You know, these kids are affected a lot by what they read, what they hear, what they see. So I didn't want to see anything too good.
Okay.
The legend grows.
The legend
Tuscaloosa.
Grows. This is
did it for us, coach.
Yeah.
Thank you.
He did it for us. That's a great thing from Nick Saban. If he's just like a guest that was brought on a radio show or a TV show just to give his opinion.
Yeah.
But you're now like, you're on College Game Day. You're now like an actual analyst, a paid analyst. You're Peyton, where did Kirk Herbstreit go to college and play?
Ohio State.
Dang it.
Well done. Come
on. He doesn't even know anything, and he knew that.
Yeah.
Chop.
Like, but you wouldn't know.
Yes.
I would.
I was just.
Yeah. But you wouldn't know by like how he picks or what he says where he went to college. Like, and that's, at least I don't think you would. I don't, Desmond maybe a little bit, but not much.
I agree with you. Let me play devil's advocate, though. Does it really matter?
No.
Everyone is just going to assume anyway that Nick Saban is going to favor Alabama. Like, are we not going to take him? To me, analysis nowadays, I don't care really what your prediction is. I want you to explain to me afterwards why it happened. I want to see the X's and the O's, why this took place. What do you draw up on the screen? I don't really care. No one knows what's going to happen except for Vegas. So like Nick Saban's predictions, his broadcasting credibility to me isn't really that big of a thing, because people were going to assume anyway that he was a Bama homer.
It may just be, honestly, sort of the same way that like Michael Irvin is viewed as an analyst. Like, Michael Irvin's an analyst and will talk about the NFL and can give you straight. But he's also then going to say the Cowboys are going to win the Super Bowl, and he is a big time Cowboys homer, and everybody knows that. Like, everybody knows that's his routine. Saban is, that looks like the lane that he's picking is, I'll analyze all of it, I can talk about all of it, but I'm going to be a homer for Alabama.
Well, speaking of Nick Saban, this is in a new book by Armin Katayan and John Talty, The Price, What It Takes to Win in College Football's Era of Chaos. That's a long book title. So he was in this book, there's a discussion about what happened on September 11th during the terrorist attacks. And they find out, they're sitting there in their offices, and it was his first season coach in LSU. He's preparing for a game against Auburn. The secretary informs him and the coaching staff that the first plane hit the World Trade Center and was reportedly some confusion, but they continued their preparation. When the second plane hit and made it clear there was an ongoing attack, Saban says, boys, there's some screwed up people in the world. Now, what are we going to do when we're in cover two against these routes? LSU practices scheduled. Saban never addressed the attack with his team. Some of the Tiger players reportedly had no idea what was happening across the country. He later apologized for having his head in the sand to a newspaper as the attacks were unfolding.
Dead inside.
Dead inside.
A dead human being. That is football guy.
But that is why also there was chatter last year where people were like, is Saban like does he not have it anymore? Because, like, in terms of it, does he not have the right persona to do what he's always done? Because they talked about the smile count. He smiled more during his press conferences. We counted it up more in this press conference before the season than any other year. After Alabama lost to Texas, he was like, man, we fought hard. I don't know what you want us to do. Whereas, like, that guy of just, yeah, I mean, to hell with the Twin Towers. This right here. What are we doing? We got to figure things out. Like,
how are we going to be?
He's not that guy anymore. It doesn't seem like.
How are we going to stop this Monty Kiffin defense? What are we going to do about that?
R.I.P. College football kegger right here on Sean, RJ, and Roberto. Thanks for being a Tolo and part of the 6 a.m. Club. Our best audience of the entire show as we are up over 600 right now on YouTube, Twitch representing as well. And thank you for listening if you are on the Odyssey app outside of DFW. What does the CeeDee Lamb contract, that's right, it got done. What does it mean for Dak Prescott? Choppy is going to tell you next around the rest of the NFL and a Texas Rangers ticket giveaway after this.